Welcome to this Friday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, it's hard to believe another week has gone by.
These weeks go by fast now, especially that school has started back, Dave.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Seems like everything's in high gear again.
Well, today we get to answer questions, and I do love being able to do that. And actually, this week, this will be our second Q&A program. We continue to get so many questions from listeners. And interestingly, our last program had some firsts, questions we've not been asked yet, and this program has some firsts as well.
Well, there's some tough questions coming up too, Dave, and I really like that, and I'm always pleased that our listeners send us questions and want us to give them solid answers.
Well, last week you did a program that was quite provocative, and it evoked quite a number of responses from people on financially assisted suicide.
Well, Dave, that topic in and of itself is very relevant right now because there's so much fear out there, so much uncertainty. And if you look at the statistics, white adult men are the highest probability of suicide. And so often the common denominator is tied in with the condition of their finances. And so it's something we need to be talking about. And one of the things that I learned in just getting feedback from people is that there is an opportunity to intervene and to minister to people before the fact and to really help people in their moment of crisis. And I thought about these verses, and I didn't share them in the program, but I should have, from Psalm 18:5. And this is when David talks about how bleak and dark his circumstances were. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In other words, he was looking down a very dark place. And he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. And, you know, the very best advice, Dave, for those who feel the darkness closing in around them, who wrote me and said, I'm not there, but I feel like I could go there. Like David, you have to look at that and say, the only place I can really go for help is to the Lord, to cry out to God. And, you know, in my studies, every time I see someone cry out to God, following that, you see God heard, God answered. God, it says, hears our voice. And so my counsel is that anybody who feels that condition in their heart, just look up. God is always near.
That's a great reminder, Chuck. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't to make more money. It's to learn to manage what God has already given you. And we have something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes. Crown Envelopes from Crown Financial Ministries is one of the most advanced money management systems ever. Crown Envelopes will help you easily create a home budget online and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you exactly how much you have left in any budget category. Crown Envelopes gives you access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we are answering your questions today. And Chuck, our first question is really, there's a handful of questions inside this single email, but I think if we take it one at a time, it can be very helpful to many people.
Well, I hope so, Dave, because this particular person who wants to remain anonymous just really laid it out there. And I think anytime somebody is willing to say, this is where I'm really at, could you give me some insight into this, it's helpful
sure,
to everybody. So this is, I think, a good question for all of us.
Great. Well, let me read it here. It says, I'm somewhat of a skeptic when it comes to those who are saying our economy is in the red, and basically we're entering into a radical economic landslide. On the other hand, I know there are some very valid points that are presenting. As I understand it, the government is basically printing cash to cover the national debt. This is pretty much suicide, isn't it?
Well, you know, the old saying is you cannot borrow your way into prosperity. That is true, and there is so much concern about the national debt and the federal debt, and there's almost this involuntary fear about it. Dave, you can just say federal debt, federal deficit, and most people have a reaction to that, and it's usually not a good reaction. But what I've found, and I've studied this for a while, and I've looked into it fairly closely, I've written some newsletter articles about it, is most people aren't very informed about the federal debt. You could say the federal debt increased 5,000% year over year, right? But that would be like saying, Dave, your debt increased 5,000% year over year. What if you went from borrowing $1 to the next year you borrowed $5,000? Well, that's a 5,000% increase. But is that bad? What if you had $50,000 in the bank and could pay off that $5,000?
Right.
The point is, it's all relative to your net worth. And so the federal debt has to be considered relative to our gross domestic product or the income of this nation, the wealth of this nation. And actually in 1945, our debt as a percentage of our gross domestic product was at its highest level. That was in World War II. It was at 120%. In other words, we were way, way, way underwater. Well, what do you think it is today, Dave?
From all the reaction from the news media, I'd say it's well above that.
Well, that's exactly what you would think, and I would think it's the worst ever, that it's just spiraling completely out of control. Actually, it's only at about 65, 67%. So it's half of what it was during World War II. So you have to be very careful to not let this nebulous, undefined fear take over when you start hearing about the federal debt. Now, is that good? Let me be clear. That's not good. Because if we go into a time when our gross domestic product falls, no different than if, using your example, you had borrowed 5,000% more this year than last year, and your income started to plummet, or your savings started to go away, then you could get in trouble. So debt always puts you in a position of being vulnerable. And our federal debt makes us vulnerable, but it's not to the point where some people are saying that we're on the edge of a cataclysmic meltdown. I don't believe that.
Well, he writes, I've heard that there's an expected dropout in the value of the dollar late this year or into the first of next year. I'm currently working in South America and have seen the value of the dollar drop significantly over the past months, and there are places that don't even accept the dollar anymore. If something like this does happen and the value of the dollar is lost, what happens? I've heard that this could close banks, businesses, and pretty much halt things altogether. I'm totally convinced that God is leading and directing in these things, but I know we need to be prepared for whatever does come.
Well, I don't like to get into making prognostications or forecastings about the future, but I will on this one, particularly for this person who wrote and asked it directly. I believe the value of the dollar is going to change later this year. I think it's going to go up or down. I'm not really sure, but I think it's going to go up or down. And you know the reality of that, and I'm not saying that to be glib. Nobody knows. And so to start basing how you feel today and the decisions you're making today on something way out into the future that we really don't know. In fact, nobody really knew when the price of oil was going to peak and when it was going to start coming down. I didn't think it was going to start coming down this rapidly. In fact, there were experts saying that it was going from $150 to $400 a barrel. There was no turning back. It was never going to change. And guess what, Dave? It has changed dramatically.
Sure.
To the positive, to the better. And the price of gold is coming down as well. So when you talk about speculating on what the dollar is going to do, and is this going to set off this domino effect where banks close and businesses close and we board up America because somebody's selling that fear, I just push back. I say that's not how God wants us to operate. Should we be wise and look at trends? Should we be informed and know about the future? Absolutely. God expects us to understand these things, but not to make decisions based upon a fear-based posture. And I think that's what's happening to this particular listener.
Chuck, the listener continues on, and he asks a question about something that, honestly, when I saw it, I had never heard of this before. And he asks a question about the introduction of the Amero, And he puts in parentheses the Canadian, U.S., Mexican currency. How will the introduction of the Amero affect how we invest and look at things now and in the near future?
Well, I, Dave, I kind of chuckled when I got to this point because I realized that this dear brother is reading some very bad information. And that information is just laced with myth and rumor. And in fact, the Amero is a conspiracy theory. It's a myth. Okay. People have said that Canada and the U.S. and Mexico are entering into an economic union to offset the European Union, and we're going to introduce something similar as a common currency like they did the euro. Well, in fact, all of those nations have said, no, we're not. We're not doing that. So they haven't formed this economic union into one, and they're not talking about creating an Amero. Now, it's interesting. There are a couple of Amero floating out there that are these little collector coins, but they have no value in terms of real currency. So that myth has been going out there some time, but fortunately, it is not true.
Well, Chuck, our listener has one more question, and he indicates that he just recently got married. He says, I've been working overseas in mission work for a number of years. I've got about $40,000 invested in some temporary foreign housing investments, and that's all I have to my name. I have no debts. As I prepare to come back to the States, what's your recommendation? I can probably scrounge up $50,000 to my name and invest it in a future home, but is that a wise thing to do? Or would it be good to invest $5,000 or $10,000 in some tangible goods such as gold to actually have something in hand in the event that something in our economy goes south?
Well, I think that it's always good to be able to purchase a home as long as you buy it right. And there's some really good bargains out there right now, but I would be sure that you have plenty of money saved up. I wouldn't put all my money into the house at all. And I would also avoid gold at this time. I think you need to build up more savings before you get into the gold because it's a very uncertain commodity to have your money invested in right now.
It's good advice, Chuck. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Well, welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we're answering your questions today. Chuck, let's kick off this section with a question about insurance. Our listener writes, do you know anything about direct marketing insurance? Someone at church who is held in high regard has suggested its training program to me. I've scheduled a meeting with him, but I have some reservations. What should I do?
Well, we get lots of letters and requests asking about multi-level marketing opportunities, specific ones. This one happens to be around insurance. And, you know, we feel the same way about this one as we do all the others, that they can be very, very good, sound concepts, as long as you don't go into it with the idea that the business is just recruiting others. If you really want to be in that space, in the life insurance space, selling insurance, and you feel good about making money by selling the product, we think it can be a good model. Certainly, you want to investigate it yourself, check with the Better Business Bureau if there's any reports of the company in your area or the people that you're dealing with or signing up with. And also be careful not to look at everybody, especially everybody in church, as a prospect. You typically cross the line when people see you come in and they think all you're interested in is to sell them whatever it is that you've decided to represent. We've got some good information online about insurance and investing pamphlets at crown.org, and I'd recommend that you go there and read those things and then see if they're consistent with God's financial principles about having an insurance plan. plan. And on the whole, I think it's probably a good idea to investigate. Just don't get caught up in this kind of greedy, mad rush to recruit other people to do the deal for you.
Good advice. Chuck, our next question comes from a listener in Oakdale, California. He writes, I'm 52, and I've been working for the same company for 19 years. I'll be permanently laid off in September and will be given a severance package equal to about 10 months of pay. I'll be able to continue my health coverage for 3 months at the current rate. My house is paid off, but we just ordered a new manufactured home. We have the money to pay for it, but I'll need about $15,000 to finish the setup. I have a good chunk of money in my 401k, but I don't want to touch that. How should I handle the situation?
Well, the first thing is don't borrow from your 401k. I think that's great that you don't want to do that. It's not long until you'll be qualified to take out of your 401k without the penalty once you reach 59 and a half. And I also would question whether or not you need to be buying a manufactured home. I know they can be a particularly good investment in California, probably better there than almost anywhere else if you get a good location for it. But what you're asking is how do you finance your $15,000 shortfall? If you're going to pay cash for the house, then obviously you can borrow some money as a form of a mortgage to finish the setup. And I would do that on as short a term basis as possible. And then I'm assuming when you said you've been permanently laid off, that means from that particular employer for 19 years. But you could still work. And what I would do is go back to work, get reemployed somewhere, and get that $15,000 paid off if, in fact, you're going to follow through with buying that manufactured home.
Chuck, our next question comes from a listener in Colorado. He writes, I've been approached by an acquaintance who is trying to sell me a financial product called a money merge account to pay off my mortgage in a half to a third less time than it would take otherwise. The cost of this program is $3,000 to $3,500. What do you think about this?
Well, in a money merge or what's called an accelerator type program, home buyers are told to get a variable rate home equity line of credit. That's called a HELOC. That's the term in the industry, a HELOC, in case you see that in financial reports. It's basically just a second mortgage, and that's in addition to or instead of their fixed rate loan for their first mortgage. And then borrowers deposit their paychecks into this account, pay their mortgage and their other monthly expenses directly from that account. Now, in their sales pitch, they tell homeowners they can easily pay off their mortgages early, save thousands of dollars with very little change in their lifestyle because they're paying off all this interest early. And it's calculated through the timing of their mortgage payment. But here's the catch. Unless the homeowner reduces their spending and pays extra on that mortgage, this program does not work.
Wow.
So if you just back up and say, what's a simpler way to do this? A simpler way is to reduce your lifestyle on your own, get on a budget, and apply more money towards early reduction of your own mortgage payment. That's the best thing you can do. At Crown.org, we've got a free mortgage calculator. You don't have to get tied up in what's called a money merge account or accelerator account. You do take some unnecessary risk in those particular plans. And if you'll just have the discipline and self-control to do it on your own, I think you're much better off.
Chuck, our next question comes from a listener in Marshfield, Missouri. And she writes, my husband recently went into business for himself. We've been tithing on all revenue checks that have come in, but we do have expenses. Are we supposed to tithe after these are paid out or before? Also, what's the difference between increase and income? I always thought that God gives increase, but this was separate from your income.
Well, I just really appreciate the heart behind this question, because here's a listener who wants to give more and be sure that they're doing so appropriately. Now, to answer your first question, you are not required by God to give out of all of the revenue that comes into your business. You're actually supposed to give out of your net profits, because you have an obligation to pay your employers, to pay all of your vendors and suppliers. So just imagine that if you stop doing that, you wouldn't have any money left in the company. So you've got to honor those obligations first. And then what you have left over is your net income after taxes. So that's what you should tithe from, is your net income in the business. And then what is an increase? I think an increase is when the Lord either increases your income in the business. That's obviously a way that income goes up. But also there's times when God just provides you something that you really didn't work for, or you didn't expect, in the form of a gift, in the form of an inheritance, in the form of some type of reward or bonus that just wasn't expected. And he wants you to acknowledge that those things came from him, not your own hand, and to tithe off of those things, which I call the increases. So effectively, you tithe off of both, the increase in your net income and anything outside of that that the Lord provides for you.
You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back to answer more of your questions.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible. Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. If you're just joining us, you can always hear this entire program again by going to crown.org. And we're answering your questions today. And Chuck, we have time for probably just one more question. And this one comes from a listener in Salisbury, Maryland. And it says, I just received a letter stating that due to the decrease in the housing market and housing values, my home equity credit line has been suspended. I've always paid above the minimum and additional on the principal. And the letter says the suspension of my home equity credit line doesn't reflect the way the account has been handled. Will this affect my credit rating in a negative way? I have increased my FICO score to the upper 700s and do not want to be thrown off track by something that's not under my control.
Well, you know, this is really an interesting question because it should put everyone on notice out there who has a HELOC or has a home equity line of credit that that's not necessarily reliable as future money in the bank. Even if you haven't drawn down on all of it, but you think you've got it available, because if lenders start to do this more and more, then that could shut off access to those source of funds. Now, her specific question was, what's it going to do to her FICO score? And it, in fact, can damage her or lower her credit score. And so she needs to talk to her lender about that and see what she can do. You know, since it was not caused by irresponsibility, perhaps you could go and ask your bank for one of their credit cards. And by using that credit card responsibly, even if the limit is lower on it than your HELOC or your home equity loan, that possibly could help you to rebuild your FICO score. You know, it's an interesting dilemma because creditors actually want you to have a higher availability of credit than you actually use. If you use only 10 or 20% of what's available to you, you actually increase your FICO score. So let's say that, for example, you have a $10,000 line of credit, but you only use 1,000 of it or 2,000 of it, and you pay it all off before the due date, then you're considered to have a much higher FICO score. But, you know, there's not all bad news in this question. And what comes to my mind is that at some point, we have to learn to live without having access to credit. Mm-hmm. And by this credit being closed off from you, it's probably a very good time to say, okay, Lord, I don't need to look for more sources of credit and to really manage my credit availability. What I need to manage is my cash availability. And so instead of putting all this energy into working your FICO score, work your cash reserves. Get a money map. Start saving the minimums of $1,000 for an emergency fund. Start building that up to 3 to 6 months of your annual living expenses to have that set aside in saving. And then to pay off that home equity line of credit and to not look back. I would use it as a defining moment to propel yourself forward and to get into greater financial health.
Well, thanks, Chuck, and thank you for listening to this edition of Money Life. If you want to send a question to Chuck, you can always do that by writing Chuck Bentley at crown.org. That's Chuck Bentley, all one word, at crown.org. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for listening to this edition of Money Life.